Good morning.
Morning.
We extend a very special welcome to some visitors that we have today. We have the Bukowskis with us. We have Linda and Tiffany Lussmeyer. Nice to see them again. We have Frida's sister from Arkansas. We're awful glad that you came to worship with us. And speaking of Frida, Jerry is homesick. I did not get to Brian in time to get that, but Jerry is at home not feeling well today. We need to remember him in our prayers. Quick announcement, next Saturday, for anybody that would like to come, we try to get out and do some different things as a church family, whether it be sometimes go over to the park or different things like that. We tried bowling and raft trips and stuff. Next Saturday, we're going to be doing a hike. It would be more of a walk. You don't have to be a mountain climber or, you know, a superstar athlete or anything. It's called the Seven Tunnels Hike out by Lake Mead. And we'll be meeting at the Lake Mead Visitor Center at 9 o'clock. And so if you want to come, bring some water, bring a picnic lunch, and the hike takes a couple hours, and we'll fellowship together. And it's a dirt road, but graded out, and see some wonderful views of the lake. We might even see Brian fishing out there if he's working, I don't know which, working Saturday. So anyway, just want to remind you that this coming Saturday, 9 o'clock at the Lake Mead Visitor Center. Got a sermon today that I was hoping Don Charbonneau would be here because there's a lot of sarcasm in it. And I think probably only maybe Don and Sterling would appreciate this sermon. They have very sarcastic senses of humor, and I was hoping at least Don would be here, but this is for you, Sterling. Wanted to look at what I'm always harping on. I think God and Jesus do also, why you should be a Christian. You hear that from me an awful lot, how you need to be a baptized, believing member of the Lord's body. Today I wanted to look at, and remember the sarcasm, the benefits of not being a Christian. If you're not a Christian, take note of some of these things. One of the things, and if you've got an outline, you can follow along. Scriptures will be in there. One of the benefits of not being a Christian is you get to be in the majority. Nobody likes to stand out. You know, very few people like to be, you know, in the spotlight and so forth. And I was talking to a guy that I work with, and he attends religious church services every so often. And when he does, he attends one of these very, very large denominational churches that there's thousands. And one of the benefits he said he likes of that is you can kind of slip through the cracks. Nobody notices you. You can just kind of go in and not be called on to do anything, blah, 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 and then you can kind of ease out. Well, I tell you, not being a Christian, you can live that life all the time. You're in the majority. Nobody wants to be stand out. Nobody wants to, you know, be seen as the oddball. You can definitely fit in with most people. But in Matthew 7, the scripture that Garrett read for our scripture reading, this is the words of Jesus. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." Not being a Christian, you'll definitely be in the majority. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Another benefit of not being a Christian, you never have to come up with excuses. Never have to come up with excuses why you can't help with VBS. Never have to come up with excuses why you can't teach a class, why you can't lead a public prayer, why you can't make it to worship, even though you always make it to work, and usually on time. Moses had excuses. If you look at Exodus 3 and 4, we see Moses giving excuses. One of his excuses was self-doubt. You know, in 3 verse 11 it says, "Who am I?" Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children out of Israel, out of Egypt?" And says, he said, "I will certainly be with you." Moses had self-doubt. I wonder if any of us ever have self-doubt. I have self-doubt every morning I get up here.
Amen.
He goes on to give some excuses that he doesn't have any credibility. That he doesn't have credibility for doing this big task that God is wanting him to do. Another one of his excuses was he feared the people and peer pressure. What if they don't listen to me? He had the peer pressure. You know, I used to think peer pressure was something for young people. It doesn't stop. He also focused on the man and not the message. You know, Moses gave the excuse, you know, "But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Basically, I'm not a very good speaker. He focused on the man, focused on himself, rather than the message he would be presenting. And then finally, after all of these excuses that Moses gave to God, and for each one, God had the remedy for it. Finally, in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." Basically, use somebody else, anybody else other than me. And in verse 14, it says, "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." Moses had excuses. We have excuses. But I tell you, if you're not a Christian, you don't have to worry about excuses. Number 3. If you're not a Christian, nobody's going to be bugging you to get up early to go to Bible class. They're not going to be bugging you to read your Bible. They're not going to bug you to go to Wednesday night Bible study. In fact, if you're not a Christian, you don't even have to own a Bible. That'll save you some money. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. Says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's how we are approved of God. Workers that do not need to be ashamed, being able to rightly divide the word of truth. That does not come. You just can't plug a tape recorder in or a CD player in with James Earl Jones reading the Bible while you're sleeping and it soak in. I think Charlton Heston did it too. I like Charlton Heston's voice. It's not going to soak in. You've got to read the Bible. The Bereans were praised in Acts 17:11 as people that searched the scriptures daily. Daily. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have to worry about that. Number 4, you don't have to get up early Sunday morning to go to worship. You don't have to get here to find the seat that you want. You don't have to come all the way back Sunday night. We won't have to argue and explain to people why you only have to go one time. Non-Christians don't have to spend a lot of time searching the scriptures to try to find that verse to show that one time is just good enough. In fact, if you're not a Christian, you feel that you don't have to go at all. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, we've read this recently in one of our Sunday morning lessons. The Hebrew writer writes, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Consider one another to stir up, to provoke good works in us. You know, we can do an awful lot at home. We can read the Bible. We could take communion. We could even sing it at home. We can pray at home. But you know, you can't consider each other and you can't provoke one another for good works when you're alone. God knew we had to be together to be strong, to encourage each other, to keep each other spurred on. But exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." But non-Christians don't have to worry about that. Number 5, non-Christians never have to watch their tongue. They never have to watch their tongue to keep from being critical of criticizing the preacher or the sermon. Non-Christians can just literally rip people apart. But you know what? Non-Christians, why limit it to just the preacher? What about the song leader that starts the song wrong, pitches them too high, sings it too slow, whatever? If you're not a Christian, you don't have to worry about any of that. While we're talking about not having to watch your tongue, people can gossip all they want. They don't have to watch their tongue. They never have to worry about prefacing a conversation, "I know I shouldn't say this, but..." If you're not a Christian, who cares? Or something like, "I'm going to tell you something, but you've got to promise not to tell anyone else." Or have you ever heard, "You didn't hear this from me, but..." Non-Christians, you never have to worry about that. In fact, non-Christians never have to worry about how bad they hurt anyone or their families. Turn to James 3, starting in verse 5. James has some wonderful things about the power of our tongue, the power of our mouth. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have to worry about that. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Paul writes to Timothy. Paul did a lot of writing to Timothy. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Some strong, powerful words there. But non-Christians don't have to worry about that. Number six, non-Christians never have to deal with any inner conflict about religion or worship. They don't have to deal with that idea that I was raised one way and I may want to go another direction, and how it would disappoint mom or dad or grandma. They don't ever have that conflict about how to worship, whether or not we should or should not use musical instruments, whether or not we should keep the Lord's Supper every week, whether or not we should meet on Sunday or Saturday or Thursday afternoon. You never have that inner conflict, feeling like I've got to do this because mom would be disappointed. Non-Christians never have to deal with that. In regards to a very, very big conflict that people deal with, musical instruments. You know, you look around at so many of the denominations, they utilize musical instruments to entertain, to make the people that come in feel good. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The writer of Hebrews refers to Psalms 22:22 in Hebrews 2:12, where it says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Don't have that inner conflict if you're not a Christian. Number seven, they'll never have to hear sermons about hell. They'll never have to hear sermons that are critical or that step on people's toes. You don't have to hear sermons that apply to everybody else but them. They'll never have to feel guilty if a sermon touched on something that applies to them. As it is said in Isaiah 30, verse 10, it says, speak to us the smooth things. Teach us smooth things that go down easy. Things that don't ruffle any feathers. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, Paul writes, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Non-Christians don't have to worry about the truth. They don't have to worry about the Bible. And number eight, there's so many more things that non-Christians will have to do. They'll have so much more time. So much more time on their hands. Not only will they save time from going to worship services and doing all those church things, as non-Christians a lot of times refer to it as, you're always doing those church things. They'll save time searching for those isolated scriptures to justify doing what they want to do. Hopefully, they'll never have to get in arguments with people over minor things that don't matter. Men will never have to go to business meetings if you're not a Christian. That's a big draw right there. Women will never have to wait on the men who are in the business meetings. Women will never have to try to figure out how they can be in charge. Because in society, they can be in charge. People will never have to try to keep all those skeletons in their own closet when trying to search out everybody else's. You know, the thing is, in society, all those immoral actions are promoted. Might even get your own reality show out of it if you're not a Christian. You won't have to worry about being in submission. We live in the United States of America, and one of our first big phrases was, "Don't tread on me." We sometimes want to bring that into the church. Don't tell me what to do. A non-Christian doesn't have to worry about being in submission to elders. A congregation doesn't have to be in submission to the decisions a congregation makes that don't have elders through the men. Wives don't have to worry about being in submission to their husbands. In the world, kids don't have to worry about being in submission to their parents. As a school teacher, I see a lot of that. In fact, you don't have to worry about being in submission to anything, because it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Get them before they get you. They'll never have people badgering them about giving and their contribution. In fact, there's just so much they'll never, ever have to do. And I'd like to end with the first verse that we read, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Went a little over today. Think my sermons are long? Try hell. Hell's for eternity. On your outline, if you're not a Christian, it's listed the plan of salvation, how we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. How we need to confess that belief to men, Matthew 10:32. How we need to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. How we need to be baptized, Mark 16:16. And we then have to remain faithful, Revelation 2:10. If anybody in this audience isn't a Christian, I've outlined the benefits of being a Christian, and I hope you've seen the alternative. If anybody wants to be a Christian, needs to be baptized today, we can accommodate that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, you're going through a struggle, going through a trial in your life, uncertain future, we'll be happy to pray with you. If you need to repent of sins, we have that time also. If you would like to identify with us, working with us, worshiping with us, we're all part of the Lord's church. There's many different congregations, but if you'd like to identify with us, if you'd like to pitch in and help out here with us, we'd love for you to identify with us. Whatever your need, if you'll stand and come forward, let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation.